welcome. It is so great to be with you for part three of our four-part summer school, Wren House Studio Summer School, here in July 2017. This is Donna Iona Droza, and I'm really, really happy to be able to get into the meat of the natural calendar this evening. But before we do that, let's do a little review, a little 101 of the natural calendar. We will remember that in our first week together, we drew our circle calendar with the idea of just visualizing a circle. We chose the paper plate size circle with a center circle. And the center circle, we remind ourselves, pulls our home. It's our home base. It's where we want to get back to. And it's our individual home. It's like the center of my circle is not the center of your circle. It's not the center of your children's circle. It's not the center of your spouse's circle. Everybody has their own center. And so when we draw it out in the way that we did in the first week, we get that idea, that visual, that there's a big circle of time. And we're using circular time because it gives us a more graceful, feminine pace to time. And last week in 101, we reviewed the idea that we're sort of indoctrinated to the kitchen calendar that's linear and goes week by week, month by month, and has this trajectory, this masculine need to get somewhere and constantly be in a state of action. Whereas the circular calendar that we're playing with here, what I call the natural calendar, it starts in the east direction in the springtime at spring equinox, and it moves to summer in south, where we're at now, then over to the west, and then up to the north, and then back to the spring and the east again. And there's a spiral quality of year upon year using the circular calendar, which is moon-based. The kitchen calendar is solar-based, and the moon calendar is circular and feminine-based. It's really beautiful to just remind yourself when you're stressed, when you're feeling like you just gotta, just take a deep breath and go, oh, let me put this on feminine time. And that's an almost instantaneous shift. It's like looking from the right and then all of a sudden looking over to the left and getting that connection with quieting, calming down, and trusting. Now, trust is a big deal, and we're going to be spending a bit of time this evening with the idea of trust. So we're doing our review. We're doing our 101, and we have our circle with a circle in the center. And we reminded ourselves in the first week of how being independent is important before we can be interdependent. Before there can be a relationship with you, I have to have a relationship with me. And so we also looked at how the springtime is when each year we just kind of bust the mirror of our relationship with ourselves. And that is in a very sort of tender and embracing way. It's not narcissistic. It's not look at me. It's like, let me just kind of hold you and contain you and connect with you as I speak to myself in the mirror of my experiences. Then when we get to summer, the shift into the second quadrant in the natural calendar, as we're doing our review here at the beginning, is to remind ourselves that once we have a me, we can't just stay alone. We have to be interdependent and connect with others. It'd be kind of cool if in daycare and kindergarten and first, second, third grade, we were taught how to, you know, bring ourselves back home, quiet down, center yourself. And Thich Nhat Hanh, the Vietnamese Buddhist monk, has wonderful exercises for families about having something like a breathing chair. And everybody practices just sitting quietly in the breathing chair. And that would be a lovely representation of bringing ourselves back home. And so we also looked at, during the first week and now during our review 101, We looked at how once we're creative, connected to the me and the we begin to get more open. We become more flexible. We find the capacity to find order in our experience, and we find that we have more confidence, and there's a sense of destiny. So those are wonderful ways for us to, you know, relate to the circular calendar, that it's a compass. There's the east, the south, the west, and the north points. And we put those in last week. Well, we put them in the first week. And then we added in the moons of the year. April, May, June. South gate goes July, August, September. West gate goes to October, November, December. And the north gate takes us to January, February, and March. So this is all quite elemental. There's nothing new. There's nothing, oh my gosh, I have to get more. This is a toolkit, and we're looking at this basic toolkit in these first three sessions. Next week, we're going to bring it all together and kind of really make it a tool that you can begin to use in your own way. And with these four sessions, my intention is that you actually have something that you could carry forward with you and work with in your own way for the rest of your days, and find that it actually is a calendar that communicates with you. And we're going to get into that again a little bit deeper this evening. And the first week, we also looked at the criteria of emotional maturity, the ability to deal constructively with reality, the capacity to adapt, to change, a relative freedom from symptoms that are produced by tensions and anxieties. And we even differentiated between negative stress, which we're kind of swimming in an ocean of these days, and creative tension, which is very natural, normal, and important. We need to have the tension, the friction, in order to create the pearls of our own self-expression and our own creativity. Going forward with that criteria of emotional maturity, we have the capacity to find more satisfaction in giving than receiving. And you know, when we get good at that, we realize, yes, it's all the same. You know, when I'm giving, I'm also getting. When I'm getting, I'm also giving. And it's a wonderful reciprocal quality of connection with others and with life and with the mystery of life, as we're going to find out more this evening. There's also the capacity on the emotional maturity criteria, the capacity to relate to other people consistently. So, you know, basically what you see is what you get when you talk to me. I'm not going to be wearing a different mask for everybody that I come into contact with. I'm who I am. And so there's that manner of consistent manner that brings mutual satisfaction. It brings connection. It's like, gosh, I really love to be with you because you're genuinely who you are, and you listen, you hear me. I feel seen by you. So these are gifts that we give to one another and that we receive from one another when we have that emotional maturity. The criteria for emotional maturity also has the capacity to sublimate and direct our own instinctive hostile energies into creative and constructive outlets. And you know, I think that is probably the coolest thing about this natural calendar, that it finds its own polar position on the circle where you can, you know, kind of kickbox your energy out of any kind of funkified zone and get yourself back home to the center, and then step back onto the natural calendar wherever you're at and really begin to hum again. So, you know, there's a lot of anger, and there's a lot of endangerment on the planet. And a little ditty came up for me when I was getting ready to go on a long journey to a faraway land. I was writing in my journal, and I knew I was going to an endangered part of the world. And I wrote about it in my journal. And when I came back a little bit later to reread what my entry was, I had, I had breaks in my writing. A lot of us have natural breaks in our cursive handwriting. And my break in the word endangered showed me end anger. And it actually, that in danger and anger became a formula. And I kind of work off of that. And, you know, we've each set a commitment. What do you want to, what are you making a commitment to? What is your focus for these 90 days between the summer South Gate opening and when we get to fall equinox in late September? What is your commitment right now? So I set a commitment before I took this long journey, and I was going to be an observer of how we are each and all endangered until we end anger. And in danger and anger, same energy. Same as scared and sacred, same energy, just a little shift in the way that those two words are spelled. And what these awarenesses can do for our emotional maturity is they can help us disseminate our own hostile energy, which is instinctive. We want to, like, punch somebody punches us. We're going to, you know, we've got a perfect example in the high office at this point in time about, you try to get me, I'm going to get you. And that's not a very we-oriented way to move through the world. So in our 101 review here, we're realizing that first we need that circle and the circle inside the circle to go home to, where our ancestors live and where the elements live and where we can go back and feel connected anytime, no matter where we're at, no matter what's going on. And that brings us to our final criteria for emotional maturity, which is the capacity to love. And now we're going to begin to remember that if we look in our mind's eye, and I invite you to close your eyes and to remember that our circle calendar now has an outer rim, which is made up of the four directions and the moon months of the year, go around the outside of our circle. That's what we put into place last week. And then we have the inner circle. Now, it's fascinating because, okay, go back home. Okay, now get back in your life. Okay, now go back home. Now get in your life. Well, we don't have any way to do that. We kind of have to leapfrog off of the rim of the calendar wheel into the middle of the calendar wheel. And that's not very efficient use of our energy. So this evening, now we're officially stepping in to part three of Explore Your Dreaming Force. This evening, we're going to put in the stepping stones, the pathways that give us the opportunity to actually dance the wheel, the natural calendar wheel. So again, this is your time to simply relax and take the information in. I do request that you give yourself this space, this brief 45-minute time period, to just do this and not do anything else. Don't multitask, don't read your emails, don't, you know, see who's been calling or any of that kind of stuff. Just kind of gift yourself with this opportunity to explore your greening force. And as we reminded ourselves, our greening force is basically this strength within us that takes an idea and moves that idea out into the world. It's really exciting because it's not static energy at all. It's very, very active. Spring and summer are the most active times of the year. So we have our eyes closed, and we're looking at our circle, and we're looking at the inner circle, and we're going to start to place in our pathways. So we want to go to the direction of the east on our natural calendar. We want to stand at the east gate. The east gate represents dawn, beginning, starting, birthing, having a vision. All of those keywords would connect nicely and are interchangeable, and you can work with any one of them. I want to give birth to this. I'd like to start that. It's the dawning of a new day today. You know, all of these relate us to the beginning of the natural wheel, the natural calendar, and give us a sense of connection. So every morning, you know, as simple as facing east and doing, you know, a salutation to the day, doing a little yogic salutation to the day and consciously opening to the beauty of the circle of the day. And as we work with the East Gate, we want to put down three stepping stones that lead us home, that lead us back to the center of the circle. And so it's like a straight line from the east compass point on our calendar. It's just a straight line where we put down three stones in our minds. It can be circles, triangles, squares. You can, you know, paint little stones. You can do anything you want. You want to visualize stepping stones that take you from the east gate into the home zone of the center of the circle. It's a beautiful thing. Every spring, we work with the April stone is closest to the east compass point. And the April stone has a keyword of clarity. So this is how we can begin to really sense into the beauty of working with this calendar. Just with the first keyword, every spring at the April new moon, or for the whole month of April, there's fluidity to this and you begin to find your own rhythm with it. So I'll use several different touchstone points for you to begin to acclimate to the way the wheel circle calendar works for you. But April, the first new moon of the springtime, gives us the connection to clarity. And so we ask, how wonderful. Every April in the spring, we ask for clarity. Well, you know, we made a commitment. We made a commitment to a project or to a relationship that we either want to deepen or cut loose, or we could be picking out a skill that we'd like to develop. So on the April moon month, we would ask for clarity around that project, or we would ask for clarity regarding that relationship and our place in it. Is this a healthy place for me to continue to be engaged? We could look out from the clarity moon month of April on our natural calendar, and we could say, ooh, I want to develop this new skill. And we could say, I'd like clarity around that direction. You know, I want to become a brain surgeon in the next 5 years, and so this is, what am I going to do to start working on clarifying that goal? So all of April, every year, gives us a moon month to focus on clarity. The next moon month is May, and it's the second stone heading into the center of our circle. In your mind's eye, you can visualize it very easily. And the key word that sits on that stone is wisdom. And so every May, we recognize that clarity is going to lead us to wisdom. I like to say that clarity is going to lead us to, you know, having the wisdom to do research, to begin to, you know, delve in and get a more information around what our project is, or what this relationship would mean if it deepened for us, or what it would mean if we let it go and moved on, or, you know, what would it mean if we were going to develop this skill that has, holds importance for us. So wisdom is, and these keywords can be mined. You can mine them like gold. Every year it's different because you're different. The circle's never the same 2 days in a row, much less 1 year after another year. Alive, it's organic, and it's feminine-based, but it has a lot of balance inherent in it. We step into the springtime with the third moon month, and that's the stone that is now closest to the home base center of our circle. And the third moon month has I like to put the word brilliance onto the third moon month. The original calendar from Sun Bear put illumination as the illumination moon. I like the brilliance moon. I like the idea of being radiant and shining. But it all works. All those words work. Ignition, you know, flare, hair on fire, all these things have the same kind of meaning. We're lit up by something. So that would be the focus point for June each year. What gets me lit up? Where's my passion? What sets my hair on fire in the best possible way? Really gets me fired up. And we remind ourselves that these first three moon months, April, May, and June, are placing a focus on rebirthing our relationship with me. Me, and how me and me connect with one another, the alchemical me, all the me's that have ever been throughout time. So this evening, we're building our pathways. And with our pathways, we're going to be able to dance the wheel. So now we move over to the south gate. And, of course, this is where we're at now on the northern hemisphere. We're working with the south pathway. And so we set down the first stone, which would be the July stone. And this first stone, July stone, is closest to the compass point, south compass point, on the outer edge of our wheel, our circular calendar. And so this keyword for this month, moon month, is growth. And what a wonderful thing. Every July, we just really put our focus on being the beanstalk that is proliferating. And it's just like shooting up into the sky and pushing things out of the way and really just climbing, 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 climbing. And imagine that you're climbing up to a launch pad that's going to take you, place you, onto a magic carpet. You're just going to climb up to a magic carpet. So throughout July, the idea is, how can I grow the commitment that I made in the springtime so that it begins to move out into the world and connects with others? So we go from the me quadrant to the we quadrant, and we're just starting it. It's very kind of unsettling. Oftentimes, it's very unsettling. And even when we're little children and we're working with this wheel in, you know, our sixth year or our seventh year and being called to leave our family home and go around the block and find our friends who live two blocks over, and we go riding our bicycle, and now our life, our world is beginning to expand, and we're making friends, and we're connecting with these are our friends and these are not our friends, and we begin to make these choices when we get to the south gate. There's a lot of youthful exuberance in the south of the natural calendar. There's a lot of physical movement. There's a lot of connection to emotion and how our feelings move between us and others. All of these things we're just touching on during summer school, and you know, we're very capable of diving deep into these areas of the wheel as we go further on. So we have the first stone in the south pathway. The second stone that we place down, heading toward the center home circle in the middle of the calendar. Second stone is the stone that connects with August, and the key word is trust. Now, as mentioned earlier, you know, trust is a big deal, isn't it? I mean, I don't know about you, but I think that many of us, you know, grow up having trust issues, and we want to get, with the circular calendar, we want to get curious, and we have the whole month of August to do it every year. We want to get curious about where trust fails us. And we want to see where we can green our ideas so they don't die on the vine. Because when it comes to trust, not trust, do I trust you to collaborate with me? Do I trust you to show up the way that, you know, we've talked about? We're going to have this commitment in this relationship. Are you really going to be there? Do you have my back? This skill that I want to develop, do I trust myself to be able to become a brain surgeon over the next number of years? Or am I kidding myself? Is this a pie in the sky kind of a thing? So every year in August, you get to really focus on the idea of trust. So let me see if I can get this little poem. To give is ever possible. There's no lack in it. This is the lesson we all need to learn, and we learn it by teaching. Because it is our own doubt that limits us, this is the issue of our time. We must transform the scarcity of doubt to the peace of trust. We are rewarded with tremendous potential, and the power of our gratefulness undoes every obstacle or limitation. That's a little poem I learned many, many years ago, and I like that it just kind of pops up for me when I, you know, when I can share it in a way that has a context. So that's a great little touchstone poem, you know, to give us ever possible, and there's no lack in it. And we, you know, we give most by teaching what it is we've learned in our lives, particularly us, those of us who have been on this circular calendar for a good 50 or 60 turns, years, around the calendar. We can give. We've got things to give. And it's a lot about what the project, the turning up the relationship, or the developing the increased skill, the new skill, or adding to a skill that we already have. We have to trust ourselves that we can do that, that we can trust others to collaborate and commiserate and connect and do so in a way that is supportive of each other and the world. When we get to the third pathway stone in our south path, the third stone correlates with September every year, and the key word for the stone is love. And this is a really great month every year for a lot of reasons in the work that we do with the natural calendar and working with energy and how energy is creative and creates this greening force in our life. September is the month of love. And it isn't love as an emotion. It's basically love. I love me. I love the we space. I love life. And as we're going to see as we come all the way around in the wheel this evening, I love the unknown. I love the mystery. I love terra incognita, not knowing. I love that. There's a place for each of these as we circle the year. So when we complete these two pathways, the pathway of spring, which is clarity, leading to wisdom, leading to brilliance, we turn the corner, we come to the south pathway, and we begin moving up the south pathway, experiencing the energy of growth, leading to trust, leading to love. So one energy quality leads to the next, leads to the next. By the time we get to September, we've grown a lot. Our greening force, every year, our greening force has emerged in a way that we can actually see and sense and feel into how we've allowed ourselves to grow and change and become free of the burdens that might have been weighing us down when we started out with our desire to begin again, begin new, midwife something new back in the springtime. Okay, so ready? Now we make the turn, and now we're actually looking into our future self because we get to the west gate. So we visualize that we're standing on the west compass point of our circular calendar, and we're looking in to the center circle, which is home, where the ancestors live, and that's where the elements live. That's where the I Am presence lives. That's where your faith base is. Whatever your faith base is, it's in your center. You carry it with you. So no matter what you believe in, that those beliefs live in the center of your circle. They don't live on the periphery. They live in the depths of who you are. They're your beliefs and your faith system. That's your 100-foot well, or that's your 1,000-foot well that you can just drill down into, and you know, always know that you're going to have a flow of energy coming to meet you. Well, when we stand on the west compass point, the west, we call it the west gate, we're obviously directly across from the east gate. And this is where we begin to realize that we can see our shadow. We can see how we relate. Now that we've had the spring quadrant, me, and all the me's that I've ever been throughout time, and the fall and the summer quadrant, we, and our capacity to join together and collaborate and co-create, now we get to the west gate. And the summer and the spring are behind us. But that's the masculine side of the wheel. That's the side of the wheel, the 6 months, that actually does line up quite organically with the kitchen calendar. Ding, 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 gotta get there, gotta go someplace. We take massive action throughout the 6 months of spring and summer when we're healthy and we're engaged. When we have a project, when we have a relationship, or we have a skill that we want to develop. So when we get to the West Gate, we press the pause button. Now the West Gate correlates with three stones leading back into the center of the circle. And the first stone is the October stone. And that stone gives us the keyword of experience. It's really kind of magnificent and magical every October to just take the time to review where we've been. And then to also, I like to keep a 31-day little notebook and just jot down the 31 days of October, what happens each day? On a scale of 1 to 10, was this a day that was, you know, 1 was just a day in the pit, 10 was a day, yes, or is it, are they all, you know, 5 days or 6 days on a scale of 1 to 10? October is a great month, moon month, every year to consciously focus on where we've come from since the spring and where we would like to go in the coming year. To just kind of sense into the next 18 months. It's a really powerful and very creative way to work with the energy of the month of October and to kind of sense into the experience of what has been and the experience of what will be. When we take in the second stepping stone in the west pathway, leading back home to the center, and the west is now our first, this is our first step into the feminine side of the wheel. And when we step into the west gate, we begin to see the shadow of who we've been, and we begin to get drawn inward and down and in, down and in. We begin to get called back down and in to our roots. And over the 6 months of fall and winter, we're going to go deeper and deeper, deeper and deeper into the gold mine, into the root system that makes us who we are. And each of us is different. That's why I like to remind us that this wheel is not my wheel or your wheel or, you know, nobody owns it. You create it so that it works for you. And in these 4 summer school sessions, we're just laying out the basics of the wheel. And today we're putting in the pathways so that when we're done with our session today, you're going to be able to look at your wheel, whether it's in your imagination right now, and then you create it when you listen to the recording again, or whether you're drawing it right now, you're going to have a mandala. And you're actually going to be able to expand the size of this so that it's, you know, you can build it dimensionally. We'll talk about that when we get to the end of our time today. All right, so our second stone on our pathway is for November, and it's leading back into the center of the circle on the west pathway. And the second stone has the keyword of introspection. It's pretty feminine to want to review things and ruminate and reflect. It's a very feminine, instinctive nature to want to just say, what just happened? what was that about? You know, we want to kind of pull ourselves up and take a moment and go, you know, why did that just go down like that? So in the second stone of the West Pathway, November stone is introspection. It's also referred to as death and rebirth. Again, you know, we even see on our kitchen calendar how many of these circular calendar attributes show up. So here's a good one for November. October ends with All Hallows Eve, and November starts with All Saints Day, and Day of the Dead. And so there's lots of celebrations that occur naturally in the Northern Hemisphere at this time of the year where we know, you know, the crops are in, we've harvested what we can. Now we want to kind of turn inward. We connect with our ancestors. In the Latino cultures, there's a lot of, you know, going to the cemetery and setting down a picnic blanket. And the whole family gathers around the graves of those who have gone before us. And we celebrate, and we dance, and we sing, and we make music. We eat good food. All of that happens during the death and rebirth introspective moon month on our natural calendar. So for our intents and purposes, in November we might reflect and review, what did I make a commitment for back in April? And what was I going to do to strengthen that relationship or release it? And how am I going forward with the skill that I'm choosing to develop? Let me reflect. Let me be introspective. Let me let die what I don't want to carry forward, and let me rebirth my commitment to what I want to go deeper into exploring in terms of my own greening force. I'm going down into the roots, and, you know, all good plants, perennials, all good perennial plants pull all their energy down into the roots to winter over, right? So in October and November, that's the process that we begin to visualize. I'm pulling my energy down and in so that I can rest and reflect. So experience of October leads to introspection of November, and our last stone on our west pathway, the stone that's closest to the center of the circle, is the center, is the stone that goes with December, and December's keyword stone is strength. How beautiful. Experience leads to introspection, i.e. death and rebirth, and death and rebirth leads us to our strength. Now, we've got our west pathway. And our west pathway represents the dark side of the east pathway. Not in a way that's doomsday, just in a way that lets us recognize that there are polarities on the wheel. So clarity's polarity is experience. Wisdom's polarity is introspection. And brilliance's polarity is strength. And we begin to learn how to play teeter-totter with these qualities across the wheel from one another, never forgetting that we are always working out of home, out of the center of the circle. We all work from home on the natural calendar. Now we've done our stones for the west pathway, and we want to bring ourselves over now to the north gate, the north compass point on our wheel, to create the full circle. So in the north gate, we're looking at maturity. We're looking at being grown up. I didn't give the specifics for the day, times of day, just past the east gate being dawn, the south gate being noon, the west gate being dusk, and the north gate being midnight. And so midnight represents also our elder years, whereas the east represents our birth, the south represents our youth, and the west represents our adulthood. So we're at old age in the north. We're at the culminating of the circle of the natural wheel. And we have three pathway stones that lead us back home from the north gate. And the first stone that is closest to the compass point of the north is the stone that holds the keyword clearing. Now we begin to clear away everything that we've experienced through the three quarters of the natural year all the way back to the east and spring. We begin to clear things away in January. So January's keyword stone is clearing. February's keyword stone, after we've done clearing, February gives us the stone that leads us into renewal. You can feel it sense naturally. You know, in the deep freeze of the North Country on the Northern Hemisphere, there's actually it's called the January thaw. And the rivers might be frozen really, really heavy. Ice might be so thick that you can ice skate on the river or the pond. But deep, deep down inside the waters, there's fish swimming around, and there's turtles and frogs buried in the mud with the crayfish, and everything's just kind of hanging out, waiting. And in February, late January and February, the rivers begin to move underneath the ice. Things begin to flow. The ice begins to melt from underneath, even as it begins to thin from above. So this idea of renewal in February, very natural. But how many of us actually, you know, think about it and allow space for it? So this is the time of year where we're very deep into the feminine energy now. We're very deep down into our roots, what I call the womb cave, and we're resting, and we're renewing ourselves. It's as if when we get to the north gate and we begin to move through the winter, 3 months of winter, January, February, and March, it's as if we are, you know, deep in hibernation, just kind of snoozing away like a mama bear. And maybe we've given birth to these new ideas, these new aspects of our relationship. Maybe we've given birth to this dream of a new skill. And so like cubs, they're just nursing and sleeping, and everybody's just safe and hunkered down. And there can be storms raging, snowstorms, blizzards up above. But we're all deep down in the cave, in the womb cave, with the stream flowing through and the renewal taking place in the month of February. Our last stone, on our natural calendar wheel, is the stone that is closest to the center of our circle, our home circle, where the ancestors and the elements live, where we can go home and refresh ourselves, reconnect to our personal beliefs, our personal faith, and know that this is the I am that I am in the center. Circle is the stone that's closest from the north pathway is the stone for March, that is the stone of purity. Here we are. How beautiful. One moon month each year to focus on kind of being, I always think of it like being in the sauna or being steam cleaned, in some way just being like really detoxified throughout the month of March. And as always, you know, it's not a bad thing. I mean, we do spring cleaning, right? So these are the way that the kitchen calendar correlates. It's time to do spring cleaning. Let's spruce things up. Let's get rid of the dust, cobwebs everywhere, and let's really feel that precursor to the summer, to the spring equinox, to the Aries new moon of spring, to the begin again, to the let's go, let's make this happen. So there you have our mandala, our circular calendar, our calendar that represents not just feminine time, but like the yin-yang symbol, this calendar holds the masculine 6 months of spring and summer, and the feminine 6 months of fall and winter. So staying with the circle, let's look at the quadrant, reminding ourselves that the spring out of the gate, giving birth, key to the quadrant is the knee, all the knees that I've ever been throughout time. And so in 2018, in 2025, in 2030, however long we're on our path, every spring gives us a time to reconnect and reinvigorate our relationship with the alchemical me, capital M, capital E. Maybe I make it into like a formulaic equation, so it doesn't look like just a plain old M-E. I see it as a formulaic equation for all the needs that I've ever been. Then the keyword for the fall, for the summer, now I've got the whole calendar in my mind and I'm jumping. So the keyword for the summer is the we. And again, I do the W-E in a way that makes it a glyph, it makes it a design, and it makes it easy for me to remember. I'm not just talking about we as a normal conversational we. I'm talking about the we field. Like Rumi says, out beyond ideas, out beyond right ideas of right doing and wrong doing, that's the way it goes. The ideas of right doing and wrong doing, there is a field. I'll meet you there. So that's kind of the weaning field of others. When we didn't do the fall or the winter quadrant key words, so when we get to the fall, that whole 90-day period, we focus on life. So we go to me to we to life, big life. And when we're here, just starting out in the summer on the growth pathway, it's not too soon to really begin to think about how you and me, how we can impact life by collaborating, by co-creating, by connecting. You know, we might start some sort of a microfinancing project with women in third world countries who have no means of livelihood. We might put together a group who want to go to a village someplace in, you know, Africa to drill wells, or we might want to go to the you know, Afghanistan or Pakistan and build schools for that have been bombed and destroyed. You know, we begin to think about the bigger world. There's what is it now? There's 65,000. It's got to be more than that. There's so many people who are upended and uprooted from their homes now, living in, you know, they don't know where to live, they're homeless. And these are people all over the planet. I mean, there's just so many people that are wondering, who cares? Who's out there? The Dalai Lama said years and years ago, he said, it's the Western woman who's going to save the world because we have the education, we have the compassionate heart, we have the wherewithal, we've got the means to actually pick a project, form a relationship with life, and move out. And so that's the first quadrant of the feminine side of the wheel. In the winter quadrant, we go from life over to the winter quadrant, and the key phrase element for that 90 days is the mystery. So we have the me of spring, the we of summer, the life of fall, and the mystery of winter, which is so beautiful. How amazing to have 90 days of every natural year that we don't know, and we allow ourselves to rest in utero, in the dream time, in the mystery. You know, before we come out of the womb, before we give birth to ourselves in the physical form in this incarnation, we're all about growing. We're growing our greening force in utero. And then in our own time, in our own kind of, it's our own east gate, we midwife ourselves into the world, we birth ourselves, and we step onto our own natural calendar. In our next time together, we're going to be looking at how the natural calendar fits for you and how it dovetails with different ages of our life and different stages of our life. I'm so glad you're here, and I want to share with us as we're closing our time together this evening, where the first week we looked at the criteria for emotional health, and the second week we looked at the code of humanity. This week we're going to look at the 12 warning signs of good health. So I invite you to just take a deep breath. You can close your eyes. And there are 12 signs of good health, warning signs of good health. This comes from 1994 Whole Earth Review. Remember the Whole Earth Catalog? This is a beautiful compendium of thinking, lofty ideas in the Whole Earth Review. This is number one of the 12 warning signs of good health. Regular flare-ups of a supportive network of friends and family. Number two, chronic positive expectations. Number three, repeated episodes of gratitude and generosity. Number four, increased appetite for physical activity. Five, marked tendency to identify and express feelings. Six, the compulsion to contribute to society. Seven, lingering sensitivity to the feelings of others. Eight, habitual behavior related to seeking new challenges. Kind of the growing of the green here. Nine, craving for peak experiences. 10, a tendency to adapt to changing conditions. 11, feelings of spiritual involvement. And 12, I love the most, persistent sense of humor. So glad you're here. I so look forward to us coming together next week for our last session of summer school, where we are going to personalize the wheel. You'll really be able to put yourself in it and on it and dance it, and I am so excited to share that part of our dance of the exploring your growing green force summer school sessions. This is Donna, Iona Droza at Ranch House Studio, Summer School 2017, Explore Your Greening Force. And your MP3 file will probably be getting ready to go to you in the next day or two. I apologize for the lag time, but I'm off the grid, out at my farm, and I have to wait till I get back in town to upload that. I love you all so much. I'm so grateful that you are here, and we'll talk soon.